to the show. You're listening to BBC Radio Leeds. And as I'm sure you are aware, COP26 is happening right now. It's a really big conference. It's taking place in Glasgow. And the idea is that it brings together world leaders to talk about tackling the climate emergency and look at what targets have, or indeed have not, been achieved since the last conference of the parties. But what really needs to happen before they all get in their private jets and head home to a roaring gas fire? Well, my next guest runs a company called Always Forever Green, and I think she has some ideas. Welcome to the show. This is the CEO of Always Forever Green, Lisa Walker. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. First of all, without sounding like a massive advert, please tell me a little bit about your company and what you actually do.
Yeah, sure. I'm a co-founder of Always Forever Green. Basically, we're three mums, working mums with different backgrounds. Mine's an environmental background. And we really just wanted to make an online kind of eco-friendly department store, if you like, so that it's really easy to find sustainable products that have got, better environmental credentials. So that's kind of what we do, really.
And how do you know that the products that you sell, or how would I know that they have a low carbon footprint or they're vegan friendly, for example? Do you label things?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we do. So we do the kind of take the hard work out of it, if you like.
Yeah.
So we vet all of the products for you. And then we have two things. We label them with a different kind of transparencies of level of where is this company on their sustainability journey, so they can kind of get a 1 or 2 or 3 leaf rating, so you sort of know where they are. So like a fully certified company with all of the bells and whistles would get three leaves. And then what we also do is each product individually has a little badge, so you can say, is it UK locally made, is it vegan, is it low carbon, all of those different things. And you can, if you like, if you only want to see vegan products, for example, you can just click on that and all of the products you see then on the site are vegan. So you kind of can shop with a little bit more confidence. And we hope that by doing that, people can just start to learn about what the sustainable alternatives are, really.
Well, interesting. It's an interesting idea, and it's a lovely looking website as well. But I'd like to know, what is your view on the conference so far, on COP26? Is it useful? Is it working?
I think so. I mean, it's certainly very busy. I've been to many of these over the years. I think what's different this time, and what's really, really important, is that actually lots of businesses are here. So it's not just all about the governments anymore. Yes, the governments are really important, and we absolutely need them to set the right frameworks and the regulations so that we all know where we are and we have a fair system around the world. But actually, we don't have the time at the same time to wait for them to come up with all of the perfect solutions. And so what's interesting is there's loads and loads of CEOs from some of the world's biggest companies here, and they're actually working together sometimes, with other businesses in their sector or even across sectors to actually come up with their own ambitious targets and pledges and commitments, which I think is great. And, I think that's something we can, hopefully we'll start to see, coming through in our everyday lives, that actually there's just a lot more kind of sustainable solutions coming out of businesses, and they're not waiting anymore to be told what to do by governments. And I think that's, for me, I think that's personally what we should be expecting of business leaders now. They know what the science is saying. They've known for a long time. So we don't want them to start, just hang around and wait. We need them to actually start to make changes too.
It sounds a little bit like COP26 is a great meeting of minds for people like yourself, people who are in environmentally conscious businesses. But in terms of what is actually being achieved by the world leaders, it sounds like they are making some bold claims, but they're not necessarily hitting their targets.
Well, exactly. I mean, this process really, over the next kind of 10 days or so that we have left, what we really need them to be doing is just stepping up their ambition levels. So we need them to come up with targets that add up to the right number, because currently if you add up all their targets, it sounds great, but if you add them all up, we don't get to where the scientists tell us we need to be. The scientists tell us, we have to kind of reach a maximum of 1.5 degrees of warming. And at the moment, the targets are adding up to like 3 degrees. So there's a massive gap. But I think we've seen already over the first few days some important announcements, some kind of good signs that maybe the ambition will come. So, you know, there's been some really important announcements around, you know, countries working together to end deforestation. Another one around, you know, methane emissions. That's important to, while we still use natural gas, to make sure it's actually as clean as it can be, and it's not, you know, actually causing more problems than it's worth. And we've seen some countries coming forward with some really bold plans. You know, I was at a meeting with South Africa, and, you know, a number of ministers from the UK, from Germany, from the European Commission, and these, you know, and France, these countries are working together to help South Africa. They've got the dirtiest electricity system in the world, to completely come off coal and to have a renewable energy future. So that's the kind of leadership we need to see from other countries. So I think there's some good signs that we could get some good results, but it's still very early days.
There are lots of countries doing lots of wonderful things. I mean, we started the Industrial Revolution here, so it seems appropriate that we should be leading the way this time around. But there are lots of countries who really don't seem to care at all. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk. You know, President Biden, he's here. That's definitely a difference. You know, that's a good sign. We have the US in the building. Yeah. We haven't had for a while, but, you know, he's voiced his concerns, you know, that he doesn't know if we've got the commitment from Russia and from China. They're really important countries, you know, for this, because they, you know, they have a lot of big share of the emissions, a lot of people, you know, so again, they have negotiating teams here, but they haven't brought their country heads. So, you know, that could be seen as a sign of a lack of commitment. But the momentum is, I mean, I think the momentum is definitely there. But yeah, we can't, you know, we have to keep pressure on, I think.
Yeah, and that pressure is very much on world leaders. It sometimes feels like it's kind of out of our hands as individuals. I know that for you. You want to focus on the individual, so it's about the individual choices that we make with our buying habits and things like that. What can we all be doing to make a difference? I keep hearing lots of tips about only boiling as much water as you need, and there are lots of little things. And I always think that's brilliant. I know lots of people do stuff like this all the time. Do these things make a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it can feel really overwhelming, you know, as an individual. You hear about this big climate emergency. What do I do myself? What can I do? Does it make a difference? Absolutely, it does, you know, because all of those little drops of water will add up. You know, that's, you're saving water, you're saving electricity. I mean, I think there are some really, you know, things that you can do that actually can save you money as well. So, like, you know, we always say, you know, if we can encourage people as much as possible to kind of cut out those single-use products. So you hear a lot about water bottles. Absolutely, yes, you know, have a reusable water bottle. But also, you know, things like face wipes and baby wipes. Those are products that you might put on your shopping list every week or every month. You're spending money on those products every week or every month, and they're unsustainable. They, you know, they get thrown away. You know, they're using plastic that are not biodegradable, et cetera, et cetera. But you can buy reusable wipes, you know, invest in them once, and they might last you years. And they're really beautiful products, actually. So, you know, things like that, I think, actually, if you start to see that maybe you can, you know, there are some ways to save some money, that can be good. But there's lots of different recycling schemes and things out there. The councils often don't give you everything you need from a recycling scheme, but, you know, lots of independent schemes are popping up in different shops so you can actually kind of recycle more items. But, you know, there's lots of different things. I mean, you know, the food system is a really, really big global emitter. So if you add up even just all of the food waste in the world, it's like one of the biggest country emitters in by comparison. And there's lots of people that are saying, well, you know, you could switch to being vegetarian or vegan, but you don't actually have to be fully vegetarian or vegan. Maybe you could have one day a week that you have a meat-free day. So there's a sort of a whole movement around meat-free Mondays, for example. Yeah, and that can be a way, you know, maybe it can be a health kick as well by doing that. So I think things like that, you know, there's loads of things. I often say to people, look at where your pension might be invested. It's sometimes the biggest pot of money that any of us have saved, and we don't really think about it. We may be paying into it, or our employers are paying into it each week. We don't really think about it. But actually, you know, you can, you know, there's websites and organizations like ShareAction that help you think about where is your pension being invested. Is it being invested in companies of the future that actually hopefully will be the, you know, the big Teslas of the future that are the successful companies of tomorrow when we need them to be when we retire? Or are they, you know, are they investing in the old guard and the old dirty companies, which actually probably won't be doing so well in the future when we come to retire? So I think there can be some creative ways that, you know, you don't have to actually spend any more money, but you can kind of help to create that future that yeah. we want.
Absolutely. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you and getting your perspective. Thank you so much for your time, CEO of Always Forever Green, Lisa Walker. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you very much for having me.